In light of the recent mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, so-called red flag laws are again gaining national attention. Those are laws, such as the one adopted a year ago in Massachusetts, that allow some people to ask a judge to temporarily take guns away from someone thought to be an extreme risk. In Massachusetts, the law allows police or relatives to make such requests, but now there's a call to expand that list to include medical professionals. The call comes from Dr. David Rosemarin. He's the head of forensic services at McLean Hospital, and he's with us now. David, hello. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks for inviting me.
So let me start this way. As WBUR has reported, only 20 red flag petitions were filed in the first year of the law in Massachusetts. You think that number should be higher?
I do, based on comparisons with a similar state, Connecticut. You know, they're half our size, and they've got five times as many petitions. That was 2013 data.
So who would you like to see included on the list of those people who can report people at risk? Mental health counselors, a wider range of medical professionals?
In general, psychiatrists and psychologists and physicians and other licensed clinicians. We are often trained to assess patients' dangerousness and lack of dangerousness. And we are also often privy to their dangerous impulses or dangerous risks.
What kind of behaviors sometimes drive the worry on the part of medical professionals?
There are basically two buckets of behaviors. The smaller bucket would be people with serious mental illness. And we know from studies that gun violence by the seriously mentally ill probably accounts for about 1% of all gun violence in the United States. The bulk of dangerousness is by people without a major mental illness. These are people who come from criminal subcultures, people who get drunk and angry, people who have grudges, intrafamilial, often marital, and people who are impulsive. These people don't have a mental illness, but they're dangerous.
How do clinicians find out that their patients, these people who concern them, actually have guns? Are you asking people about gun ownership?
I ask people all the time, but I also warn fellow clinicians that approaching patients with the attitude of guns equals bad is a non-starter for many patients. The way to approach patients about guns is talking about safety, just like we talk to patients with young children. Is the bleach locked up? Do you wear seatbelts? Do they have a car seat?
You write in a new essay for WBUR's Cognoscenti that you've encountered people in the past year who worry you, and that if you had the authority to do so, you would have reported and recommended temporary weapons removal. Why were you unable to act? Was it medical privacy?
Yes. I can't call police unless I think the person is seriously and imminently dangerous. Someone who has 10 beers and cleans his guns while watching football games, or someone who is heading down the path of dementia and can't work the toaster or leaves the gas on but has a lot of guns around the house, those are people that would concern me. Oh, they're not imminently dangerous, they're chronically dangerous.
Let me ask you one more question, if I might, Doctor. Do you worry about the flip side, that there's a risk that people who cherish their guns might be less likely to be honest with a therapist if they knew that person might do something to take away their guns?
Might there be a few? Certainly, but I think the public health benefit would be greater.
Dr. David Rosemarin, psychiatrist who oversees the Forensic Services Unit at McLean Hospital in Belmont. Thanks very much for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition.
Thank you for letting me have this opportunity to voice my thoughts.
And read Dr. Rosemarin's new Cognoscenti essay at WBUR.org.